Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton in the house today. What's going on is, I think JP's snapping this probably. That's what he does. Follow him on Snapchat.
Wearing those Eddie Murphy sunglasses.
I bought these for $5 when I was in San Francisco.
I love that you go $5 sunglasses.
Hey.
Especially in San Francisco. That's like a dollar everywhere else.
Exactly. You got to save your money while you're out there. Hashtag save money, people.
That's what I'm all about right now.
I know you are. We talked about that in the green room.
I think it's important for you guys to both congratulate me on my accomplishments today. I haven't said anything before the show started, but today was the opening day of softball. Two big games, and this body taking such good care of it so I can come out each season and give my all to the fine group of out-of-shape men that I play softball with. And came up today in game two, seventh inning, down a couple of runs, just needed a hit from At the Carm. And that was At the Carm, just ripping a shot into left field. So if you guys could just prop me, be like, that's great.
A walk-off?
No, it was just, I just moved the bases one and got on.
Okay.
I did eventually come around to score the winning run on a very unintelligent play by the pitcher with one out, bases loaded. Ground ball.
Hey.
Ground ball right back to the mound, bases loaded. What do you do? It's in a tie game.
Wait, say it again.
Say it again.
Ground ball, bases loaded.
You're the pitcher.
Nobody out.
One out.
One out. You got to throw home.
You got to throw home.
Yeah,
he turns around and flings it to second like they're going to be...
Like they're going to turn two?
Like they're going to turn two.
It's softball?
It's right. Get the out, dude.
Come on, man. Just get the out.
And you scored, then the game was over?
I just kind of like walked down the third baseline and looked at him like, did you really just throw to second? Because...
Was that the end of the game?
Yeah, that was it.
Wow, that's bad.
Yeah, that was bad, but... That's a victory. We're 2-0, and I feel great coming into the show.
We actually could do that as a topic. 312-981-7200. Bad softball beats. The worst for me was in the playoffs. It's the co-ed radio league, which by the way starts Tuesday at Horner Park.
Is that the league that we didn't win one game last year?
Let's not talk about it.
Didn't win one game.
No. I think we won our first and then lost every game.
Not this year. Because I'm in.
Are you in?
No.
Yeah, I might be in, guys. So
how?
Don't worry about it.
Don't you have a TV show at the same time as the games?
Someday I might take some days off.
Oh!
Just come. I'm going to DH, man. I got you, guys.
That would be awesome. I think we would at least win at least two games then.
I want to see JP at the dish. I want to see what he brings to the table. I don't feel like that's a game that you played a ton.
Listen, man. Yeah. Any game. It doesn't matter what
athletes
it is.
Athletes are athletes.
Just
come on.
Let me go. Let's play a little center field, too. I got us.
I bet you, JP.
I got range.
Oh.
JP could walk on a tennis court right now and beat you.
That's not happening.
It would be close. It really would.
Look, let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm dead serious here.
When can we go pre-show?
We can, whatever you want to, man.
Pre-show.
I mean, I played tennis as well.
Okay, let's do this. We'll video it, the whole thing.
Remember with Bo Jackson? Bo knows.
Are you comparing yourself to Bo?
No. But I can play sports.
I think he's comparing himself to Bo.
I heard a solid just drop of Bo Jackson. What are you saying about Bo?
JP knows.
So you're comparing yourself to Bo. Who do you like in the Senate match? 312-981-7200. Carmen at 42 or the former NFL, could have played professional soccer in ridiculous shape. Jared Payton is wearing a Superman t-shirt today.
Let's do this.
So, playoffs a couple years ago.
Yes.
Down a run.
Got to get back to Hogue's life.
Come on. We got it. You know
I love how we're starting the show today. This is great.
We got it.
Playoffs, couple years ago, down a run.
Co-ed lead.
Co-ed.
There's a girl at first. She's the game-tying run in the playoffs.
Why does the gender matter of who's at first? I'm sure you're going to have a reason for this.
He's just revisiting this moment.
Just telling you that it was a girl at first. I'm not saying that anything's wrong with that. But
okay.
She didn't really know the rules of the game.
There it is.
And there's a single to the outfield. They throw it into second.
Oh, no.
Where she had overrun the bag.
Oh, no.
And I don't mean overrun like started running to third. I mean she started running out towards center field.
No, she was in left field. I got it.
And she was tagged out and the season was over.
Did you yell at her?
No. How can you?
Well, that reminds me, if I may, as we continue our 6 degrees of bad athletic accomplishment, playing intramurals as the voice of the St. Edward's University Hilltoppers. Somehow I was allowed at the College Intramural League with all the basketball coaches. 19-year-old Haley Tidwell, who was reffing the game, was on the women's team. assistant basketball coach Joel Weiss drives down the lane, gets fouled. Tidwell does not blow the whistle, and he proceeds to scream at Haley Tidwell, "Come on!" And I'm like, "You're an assistant coach on the men's basketball team. That's one of the women's players. You can't scream at her.
You can't yell at her."
But he did it, so it's possible that you could have.
All right. Well, that's
good start. Good start. Okay.
That's a fun start to the show. Love it. This is the Beat 720 WGN. We have a very special guest coming up for you in about 20 minutes. You may remember Tommy Harris. In my opinion, really one of the better players that's played for the Bears in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, injuries kind of slowed down his career. I would call it a very short and sweet career. He did play in the league for 8 years, but a three-time Pro Bowler and was really one of the Bears' better players before his knees started acting up.
I mean, just a dominant force.
Oh, so good.
I mean,
in Lovie Smith's defense.
Fun to watch. For an offensive guy, to really watch a defense, he was one of those guys that was a difference maker when he was healthy and playing well. It was hard to stop.
And the big reason why we're going to have him on the show today is to talk about life after the NFL, how hard it is for some of these players transitioning from playing football, giving it all you have in a very physical, draining sport. In a lot of these careers, even when they're good careers like Tommy Harris, they're short, and you got to make a quick transition to life after football when football is all you know. And Tommy's going to come on the show at 3:35 and tell us all about it.
It's also an unbelievable piece in the Detroit Free Press today about Eric Kramer, who tried to take his own life, which we
back last August.
Yes, we'll actually talk about that coming back. Yeah. It was If you miss this piece, it's truly fan. It's amazing how you can go from one point in your life to where Eric Kramer is at now. And you want to talk about divine intervention?
Yeah, because a bullet went through his head.
Yes,
and he's alive and living. Wow. It sounds from what it sounds like in reading the story in the Detroit Free Press today, he's as back as he can be.
And he's as lucky to be here as anybody on the planet. Learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. It's unbelievable how many texts are coming in at 312-981-7200 saying, "Carmen, you would kill Jared Payton on the tennis court."
Right.
Haven't seen one of those yet, actually.
Yeah, I haven't either.
720 WGN.
Welcome back to The Beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, and Jared Payton here with you till 6 o'clock. Again, Tommy Harris, former Bear, coming up in a little bit as we talk to him about life after football. But JP, I understand there's someone very special listening to the program today.
Yes, my mom, Connie, who is sitting with my grandpa, Isaac Norwood. They're enjoying a little bit of The Beat today, and I just want to say I love you, Grandpa. Love you, Mom. And he's a big fan of the show, so we got to give him some love. He's a Saints fan, so, you know, it's tough from being from New Orleans, but you know what? He's here in Chicago now. We hope we can convert him over to a Bears fan.
Does he know the hashtag for your mom, what you call her?
Hashtag copay. He doesn't know that, but now he does.
See, we got to get them all on board if we're going to, you know, if he's going to be listening to the show and all. He's got to know hashtag copay, right?
Well, he thinks the two guys that at least one of the guys that I work with is a little crazy, and that's you, Carm.
Well,
no one's disputing that.
Yeah, I'm not going to battle with your grandpa on that at all. And I'd love to meet him and your mom for that matter. Does your mom know that she's hashtag copay on that?
Yes, she
does.
Knows.
Yeah. Is she comfortable with that?
Yeah, she's cool with that.
Okay.
She just jumped on Snapchat too. So it's funny. Yeah.
Your mom is on Snapchat?
Can't give out her name though.
Why not?
She told me not to.
Okay. She's keeping on the down low on the Snapchat. I get it.
Love you, Mom.
Okay. You on Snapchat there, Adam Hoge?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I got to get on Snapchat.
You got to come join the Snap craze.
I mean, I'm on there, but I just don't know what I'm doing. I have it on my phone.
It took me at least 2 months to figure out
how to
use it. It's not like Twitter. Twitter's easy.
Yeah, this is
Snapchat is very...
A friend added you, it says, on my Snapchat right now. I'm snapping myself. No, no, what happens to the snap?
It goes out, depending on if you put it in your story or you send it to that individual person.
Like, you can build a story throughout the day.
All right.
Well, and then you can relive your day. But if you don't save it after 24 hours, your day just vanishes like it never happened.
Exactly.
Ooh, like Groundhog Day?
Exactly. Then it starts all over.
Do it all over again? But we will keep you up to date on the baseball, too, by the way. White Sox 3, Royals 2. They're in the 7th as the Sox trying to salvage a victory in the series. An old-fashioned doubleheader tomorrow.
I know.
Out at U.S. Cellular Field. One ticket will get you into two games. 4-10 with the Indians. 26-year-old Eric Johnson going to be starting game one. And a huge crowd out at White Sox. They haven't seen the official number yet, but a big-time crowd out on the South Side today, which we will get into your baseball attending habits after the Tommy Harris interview on the show.
There's some interesting stories in the paper today about U.S. Cellular Field and the long-term plans, maybe that the with the ballpark, and really a great column from David. You know who had a great week? I tweeted this earlier. David Haw had a tremendous week. I mean, he between the Jimmy Gavin column. Remember, we had Jimmy Gavin on last Sunday.
Absolutely.
And David followed up with him on Monday and wrote a great column on Jimmy in the Tribune. And then he had a great column on Mike Milbury's ridiculous comments this week, which we didn't get to on the show yesterday, where he basically advocated giving guys concussions.
Way to go, Mike Milbury.
Which is just a terrible take, and David Haw took him to task for it and did a great job in doing it. And then today, a story I really loved because it was something I vaguely sort of knew about as a kid but didn't really understand the details about how the White Sox almost left Chicago for Florida and how literally at the last minute, and if you look at some records technically after the deadline, the White Sox managed to stay here in Chicago and build their new ballpark, which wasn't a great ballpark when it first came out. And anyway, we're going to get to all this later on in the show because I found it very interesting, and I'm curious from Sox fans what they think about U.S. Cellular Field. And
what they think. They think it's this fine ballpark that doesn't have that's better than Wrigley Field, but yet they just don't go overall.
Well, and that's what I want to get into, too. How much of it has to do with the ballpark, and how much does it have to do with other things?
When you look at both ballparks, though, like as a parent now thinking about it, like the Cell is
way better.
More, attractive to be able to take your kid to a game.
I agree.
So,
but, I mean, if you're just going to look at a ballpark and the Wrigley's.
I mean, if I'm going to drink some cervezas and, you know, catch some sun because I need to get a tan, I'm definitely going to Wrigley.
Especially now that it's not a dump.
It's nice.
Because honestly, Guy Carm, 3 years ago, I would have said the Cell's better than Wrigley.
I would have too.
And I would have said in between the lines where the actual game is played on the field, nothing, you can't beat that. Wrigley's beautiful. But if you're a fan sitting in the stands where, going to the bathroom in the troughs, which by the way, troughs are underrated. I'm okay with troughs. I just want that.
Way more efficient.
Way more efficient.
I don't go to a ballpark for creature comfort. I go because it's a cool place. I go because it smells bad. I go because...
But that's the thing. The Cell smells amazing. It smells like grilled onions.
It does.
Okay, well, that
I want that as like a cologne that I can wear.
Old Comiskey Park smelled like a combination of manure and cotton candy, and it was the most delicious smell I've ever smelled. The circus had been there some for whatever reason. The odor never left, and then you had like cotton candy being made in the same corner where
the manure was stored.
Yeah, and it was beautiful, and there and every other seat was half a seat because it was falling apart, and you had the golden box seats. Listen, would you rather go to? You can go to Chicago Stadium. You can go to the United Center. Where are you going?
Chicago
Stadium every single day of the week.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, you can go to Old Comiskey or New Comiskey. Where are you going to go? Come on.
I'm going to go to Old Comiskey.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Every single day of the week because it's way cooler. Now, Soldier Field.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Would you rather go to Old Wrigley or the new renovated Wrigley?
Renovated Wrigley. To me, it's the same. Like, it's still the same park.
No, it's not.
What's different about it? Because there's a board?
It
makes no difference. Same thing.
No, it's not the same.
Last year, I sat out there for a Cubs Sox game in the bleachers, and it was great. Because everything's nice and new, and they got hot dogs out there. You get a buffalo hot dog.
I'm with you.
Sausage.
That's fine. Renovate the old place. Great. I'm in for a renovation on the old. If they could have, like,
but Madison, can the Sox do anything more to that? I mean, they've basically already renovated.
You got rid of the old. said bye-bye old. You could have renovated the old. Instead, they tore it down.
Oh, man.
You got to build new, man.
I don't know. That place was...
This new day and age, you have to build new.
You don't have to, though. Madison Square Garden, they renovated it, and it's sweet. You know why? Because it's Madison Square Garden. You don't tear it down.
There's only a few places like that.
The old Comiskey was kind of like
Comiskey. I get that. I'm with you on that. Yeah. But there's only a handful, and some of these other organizations don't have the historic, like, sentimental value as some of these other places.
Well, and I think that's the question now, because obviously, look, that already happened. You ripped it down. There's a parking lot there right now, which is unfortunate.
I love it. I used to love playing in the Orange Bowl at Miami. It was awesome. It was run down, but there was so much history there. But what do? They knock that down and they build this unbelievable baseball stadium there,
right,
where the Marlins play.
That place is kind of weird.
Yeah, but nowadays that's what people want, right?
Okay, so the question to Sox fan is, Sox fans,
312-981-7200, yes.
In the next 10 to 15 years, would you like to see a new stadium built? And that kind of sounds crazy considering the cell is only 25 years old. That's why all this discussion is happening right now. It's the 25th anniversary.
No.
But you look at teams like the Braves and the Rangers who are already building new stadiums.
No.
Is that guy okay?
Alex Gordon just cracked into Mike Moustakas, and then he also cracked into the tarp, which was all rolled up, and he looked for a second like he wasn't alive, but now he's getting up, and I'm sure he'll be fine.
Okay. I mean, a good 5 seconds went by without him moving. It was really scary for a second.
That shockingly happened also on the old softball field this morning.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Guy coming in from third, throws up the line, huge, out of shape, catcher trying to go and catch the ball, runners coming in, now looking at the catcher, wham! And they're just both down. I'm like, man, it's Sunday morning softball. How are you two getting hurt? And, like, I thought we could add a concussion or whatever. I mean, one of the dudes just laid there forever, and then he finally got up and was okay. So everyone's tough. All right, 312-981-7200. Tommy Harris, former Chicago Bear. We're going to get deep with Tommy coming up after the 3:30 news. 720 WGN.
You're going to see McKinney struggling to the outside, and right up the middle again is Tommy Harris.
Third and 13, Favre pressures. Now he lost the football, and now the Bears have it. Israel Adonijah, the pressure. Tommy Harris, the recovery.
Intercepted inside the 10. It's Tommy Harris. Mark Anderson applied the pressure and forced the Stafford turnover.
This is a quarterback's nightmare.
Oh, those Tommy Harris highlights are good to hear, aren't they?
Love him.
He was a menace out there in his prime, and he joins us right now on 720 WGN. This is The Beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, and Jared Payton here with you till 6 o'clock. Tommy, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
What's up, folks?
Tommy, what are you up to these days? We, of course, haven't heard from you for a few years now on the football field, but I understand you're up to plenty in your life as you transition to life after football.
Oh, man, I just been, finishing school and getting to some entrepreneurship ideas, but just keeping myself busy.
Tommy, are you still involved with the 8-count boxing? I hear that you're building the next generation.
No, but we got a little boxing gym out there in Georgetown, Texas. We're creating great fighters and just building great people. And also doing a venture with CopSync, where we're merging all the cops on one software where they can share information. And we can also put it in high schools and hospitals also. So everything, my time's been pretty busy and just speaking, been able to speak in a lot of good places. Just came from Capitol Hill speaking. Spoke to the United Nations the week before on a peace treaty for Trust and Protect. So I've just been, keeping myself busy, man.
Tommy, how hard was it? I mean, when, I've seen a lot of guys after football, I mean, especially even with my dad, not really knowing or having kind of a passion for anything else when football is all that you know. Did you find it difficult after football, or were these things that are going on right now things that you already envisioned before you stopped playing?
No, I was always trying to set myself up. I had, fortunately, I had two cousins that were first rounders that went before me, and I had a chance to see them and how their time was after football and where they prepared or where they situated. So I always had a, it gave me a chance to be already prepared for situations. And, I mean, mine was a little difficult because I left football because I was grieving. My wife passed and I didn't come back. So mine wasn't, it was total, I don't really know that I had to grieve twice, I guess. So, but I've had some good people around me that helped me transition, and especially finishing business school in Miami and getting in the network with all those people was just a big and pivotal for my life.
When your wife got sick, it was super sudden, correct? You were on a flight back landing in Austin. You got a call that your wife had had a stroke and she was in Oklahoma, and you had a guy that you had met on the flight who was able to hook you up with a private jet to get you there. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
I mean, and then to sort of get through the grieving process, I guess you sort of took to boxing and getting your emotions out by hitting the heavy bag. Is that accurate too?
Yeah, man. So boxing became like one of my greatest outlets. The place I got a chance to, I didn't really trust too many people. And, I just begin to just know that you could tell a bag everything, you know, whatever you're dealing with, and it's fair, you know, that's what it was built for. So I would take people in and I would, just teach them through classes, just how to change, transfer anger and transfer emotions, transfer feelings, and to put it in something that's, you know, that can't hurt it, you know, and that's what I try to do. I get all exertions out of feelings, emotion, and send people with on a clean slate.
I know everything, and it sounds just like you're super busy right now, but how much do you miss football?
Not at all, man. I just miss the locker room. I think when I found out that I could make that same money saying without saying ouch, that's when everything became a lot. Like, I realized what I was in football and how much of when the game stopped and when it became a business. So I look at it totally different, man. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for what it's allowed me to do financially, and I don't miss it at all, though.
And we're talking to Tommy Harris, former Bear, three-time Pro Bowler, one of the better players that played for the Bears in the Lovie Smith era. And Tommy, I think your story certainly has some unique wrinkles, especially with you having to grieve with the passing of your wife. But in terms of your football career, I think there's a lot of players that go through that and have some success and then see it, whether it's injuries or other things that happen in life, have it end so quickly and so suddenly. And I remember thinking back at the end of your career, I didn't expect it to end as quickly as it did, but that's a common theme in football and with the NFL. And you mentioned, okay, maybe you don't miss it as much now because you realize that you could make money in other ways. But what's your advice to maybe players that are in the league now? Because I'm not sure that all of them maybe realize that as quickly as maybe you did.
My advice is that I heard from Richard Seymour told me when I first got in. He said, Tommy, this game is about M&Ms. It's making as much money as you can and making as much memories as you can. And that's what the game is about, man. It's a short opportunity to make as much money as you can to start your own empire, or one day to build your own football team, or one day to be beyond a product, right? Like, we're just stocks. That's what guys need to understand that's playing in the league. You're a stock. That's all you are, and you have an opportunity to make your stock be remembered and be a long stock for a long time, or you could just be one short or one that had power for a little and dropped. But it's an opportunity. It's a small opportunity. You make the best of it, and don't think that that's all of your life. That's just a bit. That's your first part of business. You just became a businessman when you got drafted. So handle your business, make as many memories as you can, and suck up as much money as you can that you can start your own empire one day. That's how it rolls.
Tommy Harris bringing the real deal right here on 720.
Serious.
WGN. Tommy, what happens if a parent comes up to you and says, hey, I got kids. They want to play football. I'm not sure if I should let them. Where do you come out on that? I know you have children of your own.
I just took my son out of football. And I don't believe that your baby should play before he starts lifting weights. If you can't lift weights on that neck or put stuff, well, it didn't make sense for me because I'm saying my son doesn't get a scholarship from any of this. I don't know what it does for him besides the father's yelling and the egos getting involved, but I'd rather just train my son, build him up, keep him in flag leagues, let him wrestle, do little tough, keep him tough, but then when it's time to, when they can start carrying weight on him or I don't know. I don't know. My son's not playing till he's 13, till he's 13 or 14.
I mean, that's the same conversation, Tommy, that I had with my four-year-old yesterday who was watching videos of his grandpa. I told him, listen, you can play flag all you want to, but there's going to be a time you have to be to at a certain age, and I think around 13, 14 years old before, you know, this is – and just watching film, and you watch some of these hits, I mean, it's tough. My mom was sitting there saying –
it's unnecessary. I was just like, this is unnecessary, man. It's unnecessary, bro. And these guys aren't getting fined. Like, it's just – they're just repeating the same – I think if you don't get a scholarship for it, you shouldn't be doing it. If you ain't getting paid for it, you shouldn't be doing it. Because it is a business, and that's what we're being manipulated by early. This game. No, this is suffering. This is going to work. This is putting in work, risking your limbs and all this for entertainment. Like, get something out of the deal. Just don't go through it. That's on every level. And if my son can't get nothing out of the deal, he's not doing it.
Tommy Harris with us, former Chicago Bear. Do you think that Roger Goodell and company should try to make the game safe, or should they just have every football player that comes in from now on, you sign a waiver? Hey, football is dangerous. You may not be able to think. You may not be able to walk, but you're going to make a ton of dough, and you're making a decision to play this dangerous game. What do you think?
It's the same way that cancer tobacco products put on there. This may cause cancer after... Give me that warning, and then we can't complain if who's doing it. You see me smoking cigarettes back-to-back when I got a cancer lung on the outside of it. That's my fault if I continue to do that same thing. So it's like give that person that instead of trying to make it, well, football is the greatest guys that do the greatest thing in the community, and they clean. Don't give me that, man. Tell the other side of the story. And then we'll get the truth when guys come in the league. Well, you know you're signing up for this. You know you got to speak at every conference, and you know you ain't going to be able to say all what you want to say when you're in this locker room, and you know you tell that story of it. But everybody's convinced because they're throwing big dollars that they're wealthy. No, man, you're not wealthy. Wealthy is what can last you after what in your life is going right, right? Like everything that's going right in your life, you say is good. But when it goes bad, you say, this is a bad day, or it's a – no. Bro, wealth is when you can come from a place beyond cash value. I say to everybody, 90% of everybody is living off of a bank statement, what their account says. And if their account doesn't say this number, you get a whole nother person the next day. So I tell everybody out there, man, find the true wealth that's stored up in your breathing, that's stored up in every day, because every man is on a one-day contract.
Some real talk right now from Tommy Harris here on 720 WGN.
That's the truth.
And so when you look back on it, Tommy, and there's been plenty of documentation about, you know, whether or not the NFL lied or if they just withheld information. Do you feel like in your time coming up playing football that you were told the complete truth about the dangers of the game? And would you have done anything differently if you had possibly known what you know now?
No. And the reason why is because you tangle money in front of a kid that's never had anything. I'm not trying to hear what they talk about. I'm trying to get to that money. And that's where we were caught in. But now the same way everybody thinks policemen shooting and that's high around the world. That's been going on. It's just that we've become more aware of it. And that's what's happening with our kids now. We've become more aware of the tragedies of football. We've become more aware of the stories that happen that aren't just Hall of Famers or guys in it. We've become more aware of it. And I think the more you're aware of it, the more there should be a hope for change. And I think that's where we're at, just making people aware of the – and now it's for each his own if he goes and take that risk.
Now being out of football and just hearing some of the real talk that you're spitting to us right now, how much do you watch the game? Do you still follow the game as closely as when you were playing?
No, I watch Peanut. I watch Carolina and Peanuts playing. I watch my teammates, like Peppers. I see Robbie go. I like to see his highlights. I just like to see the rest of the stuff is like that's left. I can't relate to that. I didn't have nothing to do with it. So it's like these are the last guys, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm finishing out my chapters with them. So I see the guys that I remember playing with it, and that's the rest of my – the rest is like in blurs. I don't know about all these new kids or what they're doing. Or I know the old heads that are finishing through.
What do you think so about – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was about to tell you a secret, but I'm done.
Oh, no.
I want to hear the secrets, Tommy.
Go ahead.
I want to hear the secrets, Tommy.
Tommy, they're going to kill me.
I'm playing, bro.
Well, tell me a secret. What do you think of Brian Urlacher's new hair?
Oh, it's wonderful. I love the comb over. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Come on, tell us how you really feel.
Hey, but he knew when to do it, though. He knew he had to be out of that locker room.
Oh, yeah. That never would have flown in that locker room back in the day.
Yeah, man.
Tommy, it's great to hear from you. It's great to hear that you're having some success and finishing up school.
Some success. Sounds like you're going to be running the world. You sure you want to jump in this presidential election? Because most people aren't happy with any of the candidates, Tommy. If you want to go, I will back you.
Man, I got you, man. I got you. I appreciate you guys, brother.
And if you need a vice president, I'm right here with you, man. We can do this thing.
Hey, I'll be the vice and you can be the head. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the real power of the vices.
Okay.
Peyton and Harris. You got our votes right here.
Hey, that sounds like a bank, don't it?
It does sound like a bank. Let's do this.
Yes, sir.
Great stuff, Tommy. Right, it's good to hear from you.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, Tommy Harris.
Wow, we might have to digest all that.
I think we need to digest it. Get your reaction at 312-981-7200. And I think we need to take some of that and bring it back later on in the show as well. That was some tremendous stuff from Tommy Harris.
Hashtag one day contract. We're all on it. Let that one ring around for just a second. It's a great way to go about your day. 720 WGN.
I don't even know where to start with that conversation we just had with Tommy Harris.
I'm making money and memories right now.
Money and memories.
Eminem.
He said Richard Seymour told him that. And love the perspective on his children playing football and understand. He said it was stupid or silly, whatever he said. He's right. I mean, there's no reason. I totally agree with him. A child under the age of 13 does not need to be hitting anybody.
When did you first take contact, Jared?
I didn't start playing until my junior year in high school. So, I never played any organized football in my career growing up. I played soccer all the way up to my sophomore year. So, but in hindsight.
And by the way, you played in the NFL.
Yeah, but hold on. This is right. The thing. This is one of the things, though, that I look at for myself is, you know, there's certain. My dad did the exact same thing. But for me, I probably could have used a couple more years and maybe should have played maybe at least 3 years before to really understand the game, because by the time I started to understand the game was late in my career. So it's
right. So
for a kid who played soccer all his life, I had no clue about football.
So you're saying if you could go back and do it again, you would play as a freshman?
Yeah, maybe play freshman or the year before that.
Okay.
If I really wanted to really truly understand the game by the time I went to the University of Miami, yes.
Right. Makes sense.
If I could just follow up, Tommy, with my own real talk.
Go ahead.
I mean, it is conversations like that with former players. And unfortunately, it seems like it's mostly former players and players at the tail end of their career where it's – like, did you read that piece that Eben Britton wrote?
I think it
was on the Players Tribune. Eben Britton played for the Bears briefly a couple years ago.
I heard about it.
And he was basically not playing 2 years ago. Like, he was a guy on the back end of the roster that probably most fans didn't even know his name. Okay? And what people didn't know is that during the bye week, he went into, like, a hallucination because his appendix needed to be removed. And he was taking these painkillers, and then his buddy to help him brought in some special brownies, and he ate one, and he ended up hallucinating, and this was all going on in the bye week, and no one knew about it. I didn't know about it. I'm covering the team. I didn't know about it. He was back there a week later. And in his career, it's over now. And people don't understand the pain that some of these players are in when they're playing. And this Eric Kramer story, well, that, by the way, Dave Burkett wrote today in the Detroit Free Press about Eric Kramer, the former Bears quarterback, who tried to kill himself last year.
I think you're they don't know, yes, but they don't care.
But that's what Tommy just told us. When you're young, you don't think about the money.
I'm not talking about the player himself. I'm talking about, like, when you're talking about the fans, like people saying what they go through, and people don't understand. They do not care.
Okay, and that's where I was going to – sorry to interrupt you. That's where I was going to get into with the real talk.
Listen.
There is something with me. I don't know if you guys feel like this just as fans, but I make my living off this sport basically right now. And I'm not kidding. I sometimes feel guilty about it.
Well, it's tough, man.
Because I certainly haven't done it.
Carm.
Yeah?
Hogue. Hogue's getting into it. But, Carm, let me tell you, man.
You know what you're signing up for.
You know what you're signing up for. But when you're young, it's totally different. Because the way the mentality is of playing this game, you're never supposed to act like you're hurt. And listen, I played, and it brought me back to reality yesterday when I saw the Florida State game that I played, and I broke my collarbone and had to play another 6 games after that. And I'm medicating myself with painkillers to make myself be able to play, because I need 2 Toradol shots so I can go on playing the Virginia Tech game because I'm in that much pain.
You play with a broken collarbone.
Yes, a night where I'm sitting on my balcony in Miami thinking about, man, it might be easier just to end this thing because I'm in too much pain right now.
You know,
it's those nights where I know where guys start to really think about this real talk that they're talking about, where fans truly don't understand what goes in. But listen, I know what I signed up for. I get it. I understand. But
then it's too hypocritical, Jared, because look, right before the show, I'm sitting in the green room and Frank Fontana had a guest on. Her name was Sally. I forget her last name. But she's sitting back there with me. She's asking me about what I do. I tell her I cover football. And she immediately gets in the hypocritical nature. She said this bothers her, that these football players, and you just told us yourself right there, that you were taking all those drugs and you had to stay on the field because it was – and that was just – was that in college still?
That was in college.
Okay, in the NFL, it's their livelihood. Maybe if you hadn't done that, you get cut because you're hurt. Injury settlement, bye-bye. That's the kind of reality these guys live with. But then they get suspended for a year for smoking pot, which, and this gets back to the Evan Britton thing. A lot of these players could be smoking pot to help themselves instead of taking all these dangerous drugs.
These drugs will literally kill you. And when you're self-medicating, man, it becomes – it's a downward spiral. It's a downward spiral. I've never felt like that before in my entire life of trying to figure out who is having a surgery so I can get Percocets or so I can make sure that I have whatever I need so when something does happen and that pain comes that I have an opportunity when I come home at night that I can take those things. That's where I start thinking about the long term for, you know, my kids.
And
that's something I really want them to do.
And Jared, and if you're on Twitter that week though, the only mentions you're getting in your Twitter feed are, hey, are you playing this week? I need to find out if you're a go for my fantasy team. And that's all that matters to the fans.
Let's take a quick time out. We'll get the news in here. This has been a spirited conversation around football. We'll do some baseball to start at the 4 o'clock hour. The White Sox game has gone final. Sox a winner over the Royals 3-2 at 720 WGN. We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Back here on The Beat. Strong first hour, boys. Adam Hogue, Mark Carman, Jared Payton. I'm fired up. I don't know about you.
I've continued to learn the very many different Adam Hogues. There's angry Adam Hogue.
I love excited Adam Hogue.
There's excited Hogue. There's pat himself on the back, Adam Hogue. That was amazing first hour radio. Team, come on, baby.
It was. I didn't do anything, though.
Yes, you did.
That was Tommy Harris and Jared Payton.
No, don't shortchange yourself. Come on.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did. You
started
it. I asked
a couple questions. Tommy gave us some real talk on football. And Jared Payton, who also played in the NFL, gave us some real talk on his career, which I've never heard before.
Me neither.
That was awesome.
I had to share it with you guys, man, just to give you a different perspective on what it's like to be in those shoes.
I always knew you were tougher than me, but Now I won't even like joke about it ever.
Now, do you think he can beat you in tennis?
No.
That's not, that's a different
we're gonna get this on video. We'll figure it out.
That's a different level of toughness. I'm just gonna hit it to JP's backhand. I don't believe it's real.
I still got it.
We're gonna switch the topic to some baseball conversation here, but if you missed the Tommy Harris interview, we will get it up online as soon as possible so you can get it as a podcast after the show. But B, I think we'll also get some of it later on. We're here till 6. I think maybe in the last hour we'll bring some of that back. Here's a snippet that I just tweeted out, a quote from Tommy Harris in the interview we just heard from him. Quote, "It's a business, and that's what we were being manipulated by early. This game. No, this is suffering." That's a strong quote right there, and I think a real quote from Tommy Harrison, one of many in that interview. So you can catch that a little bit later on the show and then later on, too, at WGNRadio.com.
And if you're just joining us and it sounds like, Tommy Harris is bitter because his career didn't last longer. No. Tommy Harris is not bitter.
He's not bitter at all.
Yeah. Say he doesn't miss it. He was honest about how much money it made him. Yeah. And his whole goal and the way he looks at it is made this money. Now he's taking that money as a seed, planting it towards more investments, and he's living life after football.
And it sounds like also the memories, too. When he said, make the memories as well. When I asked him, did he, miss playing football? He said he misses the locker room. And it's funny that a lot of football players, or just athletes in general, say that when they leave sports. So they hate missing being around the guys and hanging out.
Very big day as we segue into baseball. Very big day for the White Sox is not only do they not get swept by the Royals, which would have been a disaster. They got a great pitching outing from Carlos Rodon.
Which they needed.
Which they desperately needed.
He needed that.
Agreed. Yep. 6 2/3, 8 hits, 2 runs. They were earned. Walked 2, struck out 4, 102 pitches. His ERA lowers to 4.47. And then you get a perfect bullpen performance from Albers and Duke and Jones and Nate Robertson picking up save number 11. So the bullpen doing their job, winning a one-run game. White Sox improving to 26-18, dropping the Royals to 22-21. You wanted to do better in the series, and you're going to see Kansas City again later in the week, but you can't get swept there, and they didn't.
Well, not only are you going to see them later on in next weekend, do you realize that 3 out of 4 weekends they play the Royals?
I did not realize there was a third weekend coming,
too. So they got Royals this weekend, Royals next weekend in Kansas City. Then the following weekend, they play somebody else. And the weekend after that, the Royals are back here in town. Mm. So 3 out of 4 weekends, they have these big series against you got to beat teams in your own division. And that's been a problem for the White Sox in the past few years. So the way they started these two games in this weekend series was not very – the offense just wasn't there. And I don't know if you can qualify say the offense was really there today, but they did get clutch hitting from Todd Frazier and Melky Cabrera, two of the guys that are still hitting in this lineup. And they managed to squeak out a win because Carlos Rodon showed up.
We didn't talk about Jose Abreu, though. I mean, just
– didn't play today.
Didn't play today. Needing Robin giving a little bit of time because needs to kind of get things focused and back on track. You look at Jose Abreu, normally look at the numbers. When the weather starts getting nice, that's when he starts hitting again. So hopefully now that we're starting seeing the weather come out. And shouts out to all the Sox fans on the South Side, 34,000 there today. It looked nice and packed.
That is a great crowd, especially for the Sox, the way they've been drawing.
What was the number?
34,526.
Oh, yeah. It was. That's about 6,000. Well, closer to 5,000 away from a sellout. Another knock today for Adam Eaton, 1 for 4. This guy has been, I'd say, arguably the best player on the team. I mean, he's hitting over 300. His on base is nearly 400. He's played a great right field.
Fangraphs had a story, I don't know if you saw this earlier this week, that Adam Eaton has been one of the top 8 players in all of baseball going back a full calendar year.
That's a little bit too nerdy for me to believe that, but hey, Fangraphs is Fangraphs.
Fangraphs is Fangraphs.
Well, I mean, they brought out the sabermetrics, the WAR and all that, and they showed that this guy isn't just a good player. He has been, over the last year, one of the best players in the entire game.
Can't they just change their name, though, from Fangraphs to FangraphBaseballNerds.com?
Jesus. It's too long.
Okay, Hawk.
It's too long.
Is that offensive to the Fangraph people? They're not nerds? I think they want to be nerds.
Okay. As long as you're not diminishing their work or what it means.
It's very
important to the game of baseball.
I am just diminishing, like, there are certain, like, okay, Dexter Fowler right now, okay? His outfield defense he was rated as a terrible outfielder by Fangraphs and all the other graphs out there. And the Cubs talked to Dexter Fowler after last year, say, hey, your metrics are terrible. We think that if you actually play deeper, you would get to a lot more balls and you'd actually be a much better center fielder, which is what he's done. And now look at where Fowler's metrics are. They're way different. So, like, the numbers, it's a part of the story. But, like, for those who don't watch the games and just look at the numbers and think, like, they know everything, it bothers me. That's where I'm coming from, if that makes sense.
I get it.
Okay.
Sometimes you get – there's Hogue's bothered. Hogue's legit bothered by that.
I just have a – you know, Jay-Z always talks about that numbers don't lie, so –
I mean,
I'm not a nerdy.
Of course they matter. Of course they matter.
I know they do.
But I, you know, okay. Let me
those,
give
but
you
those
know,
can change.
Your baseball team really cares about the numbers. You realize that, right?
I do understand that.
And Joe Maddon's constantly looking at that chart in front of him.
Right, but
and
okay.
The matchups.
And that's fine.
And where guys are hitting the ball and how he should align his defense.
Well, okay, here. We can have this conversation. 312-981-7200. That's fine for the inner working Jed Hoyers, Rick Hahns, Theo Epstein, Kenny Williams, looking at all the numbers and having that conversation in the boardroom. But I don't believe that listeners to a baseball broadcast, be it Len and JD or whatever, right. Hawk and Stoney, or
as long as they bring the proper context to it, which I think they do.
Look at his XFIP. I just don't think people want to hear that. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, as long as they explain why it's important.
Okay.
I feel like that's where it's going now.
I think fans now
want to know that stuff. I'm not saying everybody, but it's becoming more part of baseball now.
One other thing, we got a little sidetracked here. One thing
Sorry.
That it was no, it's okay. All right. It's been a good conversation, but a little bit newsy today. It somewhat buried. I don't want to say buried, but just a little bit further down into Paul Sullivan's piece in the Chicago Tribune today. A lot of coverage on the White Sox's 25th anniversary at U.S. Cellular Field, the new Comiskey Park, whatever you want to call it. In Paul Sullivan's story, though, it says, "Quote: One longtime Sox employee told me Saturday" that they would have been better off if they had built the ballpark in the suburbs.
That might be true.
And I'm curious with Sox fans, would you go to more games if the ballpark was in the suburbs and not where it's currently located on the south side?
I mean, the Cubs were talking about, and that was never going to happen, but they were talking about Rosemont.
Well, that was a marketing trip.
Of course.
Chip.
Well, and so was Florida for the White Sox back in the day. They were never really going to leave.
Probably not. But does the suburbs make sense for the White Sox?
Nah. It doesn't make sense.
But Wrigley is so – and I'm just trying to look at this practically. I love where the cell is. I love going down
I think
there.
It's
I don't
easy,
have a problem.
To go to the cell, to me, it's easier to get in and out – parking, all
then
that
Wrigley.
Stuff. Then Wrigley.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be easier if it was in the western suburbs too?
Well, I'm
because
in the
Wrigley
suburbs, so it's cool. It would be cool for me, but
me too.
You got a lot of diehard Southside fans that probably would not be making that trek all the way out to the western
but
suburbs.
I think a lot of them already live out there.
Who wants a retractable stadium out in the burbs for the White Sox? 312-981-7200. We can have that conversation.
Well, I'll read you more from Sully's piece. It's very interesting.
312-981-7200. When we come back, too, there's another issue that baseball has about the pace of its game. Is it going up? We'll discuss that as well. Monday on WGN-TV Morning News, Dean Richards talks with one of the stars of Modern Family, plus toys for summer road trips. That's on WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news. This is 720 WGN.
In Chicago this spring, White Sox fans said goodbye to the old Comiskey Park and welcome to their town the new one just across the street. A testament to traditional baseball values, the new Comiskey came alive as opening day approached.
Tony Phillips will have the privilege and the honor of being the first batter, and Jack McDowell will have the privilege and the honor of throwing the first pitch ever at the new ballpark.
Back here on the beat, Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, and Jared Payton here with you. Beautiful Sunday in Chicago. Glad you're with us. And we were just discussing a little bit of Paul Sullivan's piece in the Chicago Tribune today about U.S. Cellular Field.
Hashtag Sully.
We look back on 25 years at the Cell. And he mentioned that one longtime Sox employee told him on Saturday that they would have been better off if they had built the new stadium in the suburbs. And I'm curious from Sox fans at 312-981-7200, would you go to more games if they were in the suburbs and not on the south side of Chicago at 35th and State, where, Shields. By the way, 35th and Shields, the reason I said 35th and State was because there was a shooting there on Friday
right.
at a Starbucks.
Which, heard about that.
Which Sully referenced in his piece, an innocent woman just got hit by a bullet and died. I mean, and that's only a few blocks away from the cell. The conversation about the neighborhood around there is not always accurate. Because Bridgeport is... I park and walk 5 blocks all the time, and it's safe. But there's still incidents that happen down there that add to the narrative, and it's fair.
I started working at U.S. Cellular Field, then New Comiskey Park, in 1992. It's the only profession that I've ever reached the pinnacle in. That would be vending. And I started as selling, I would sell Dove bars in the upper deck. They were like $3 a Dove bar. They were light. That upper deck was filled when the park opened.
And you went all the way to the top, was way up there.
And it was scary. Legit scary.
I can't believe you guys didn't fall down.
I mean, I did not enjoy it. But, you know, there was some decent dough, and I enjoyed being at the park.
Did vendors ever fall down that upper deck?
No.
Someone had to have.
Well, I mean, maybe they did, but I never heard I never heard anybody talking about how they felt. People were scared of it. But the point being is that, you know, I would get there super early, and I would leave, not when the crowd was leaving. And we would park a decent amount away from the park because, you know, that was where the free parking was. And I never had a problem in the neighborhood. I mean, some guys, they'd park at the projects across the way. Now, those guys were a little tougher than I was. I mean, I wasn't going to do that, but I would park all the way up by 31st, you know, and yeah. I'd walk through the neighborhood.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's not perfect.
There are probably way more stories about Chicago Stadium back in the day.
Of course.
My dad, I believe, has a story where they had a brick thrown through their car.
Right.
Whoa.
At Chicago Stadium.
Listen, when I go to the United Center nowadays, though, if I'm going as a non-media member, if I'm just going to the game, I never park in the $25 lot. I always park on the street. That neighborhood's come up, too. I mean, the west side of the city is booming right now.
Yeah.
So the whole concept that around the parks, it's dangerous. I don't really believe it.
I just believe it's dangerous anywhere you go.
Exactly.
These days,
anywhere. Yeah. When you start watching the news, it's pretty
crazy.
You can't
drive down the highway anymore.
No, and I think that's what's so scary now is that we're seeing that now where it's just becoming crazy, and just every single day I'm on the highway coming from, you know, and the other night we leave in and there was a shooting on the highway when I was coming home and I was wondering why there was traffic. Come on, man.
312-981-7200. I completely feel you. There's danger everywhere. I'm including that in the overall.
Everywhere.
But I don't feel anything more special than any of the ballparks.
Can I just pose one more question for you?
I feel just as dangerous as at Wrigley that something could happen. If stuff happens around Wrigley Field all the time. Yeah?
So suburbs versus the city. That's one question here. The other that Sully poses is whether if the White Sox were to build a new park eventually, would you put a roof on it?
Okay. Retractable roof, suburbs versus city. 312-981-7200. Jimmy, you're on WGN, my friend. Go ahead.
Jimmy, me?
It's you, Jimmy.
Oh, hello, fellas. Great show, by the way. I always enjoy listening to all of you.
Appreciate it.
And a side note, Jared, I had the pleasure of meeting your father 3 times. But as far as being from the South Side goes, I'm a lifelong Beverly resident. And I've been a Sox fan, kind of, you know, the way it went. And I'm also a Cubs fan. But growing up on the South Side, even still taking my family, if we were going to say, okay, let's go to a Sox game tomorrow, I wouldn't even really so much think of the neighborhood, the problems around it, or, oh, my God, I have to go to 35th Street. It wouldn't really dawn on me. Whereas if I had to, okay, we're going to go to the Cubs game, first thing I think of is, okay, we have to leave buku early. Where are we going to park? It's going to be a nightmare getting in and out of there. And there's all kinds of, like, you know, you look at the news last night, there was 4 or 5 different things that happened in that area that are not, you know, good. I mean, crimes, robberies and stuff like that. I mean, there's crime all over the city. But yeah. And if I can get to your other point of rooftop on the south side, no matter where they built the stadium, I would have to say that would be a gigantic no. I just couldn't see it. I mean, personally, I honestly don't think it would fly. And this might even, for what it's worth now, being a lifelong Southsider, most people from the south side at some point in time have left and gone out to Mokena, Tinley, Orland, Frankfurt, way out west, it seems. And I could never see a stadium out there. I don't think it would draw. I don't know why. It's always puzzled me why the Sox don't draw. I mean, the Cubs, I don't mean to be rude, but to me, Wrigley Field is the biggest bar in Chicago. Don't get me wrong, it's a great atmosphere, and they're winning, and God bless.
Jimmy, one question. Have you been to the Sox game this year? Have you been to
Yes, I have.
Okay, then I won't be able to win that argument.
You won't.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
My point being is the weather's been terrible, and I think a lot of people haven't gone out because the weather's bad, so you put the roof on, people would go. But Jimmy's already been, so I can't win that.
Yeah, and for me, it's a personal preference that baseball should be played outside. I've been to Miller Park at least three times where it's a beautiful day in the 60s and the roof is closed, and it drives me crazy. And they built Target Field up in Minnesota, and they didn't put a roof on it, and it was very controversial. And guess what? That is one of the best ballparks you can go to in the entire league, and I'm so glad it doesn't have a roof.
6-3-0 nope. Texting suburbs and roof.
No roof.
I'm pro. But give me the roof.
Soldier Field.
Let me also admit
roof.
Yeah, that should have had a roof.
That should have had a roof.
No question. But that's a different.
It's totally different.
Super Bowls, Final Fours, blah blah blah.
See, but I think that's like less like bear down is bear weather, and like to put a roof on it is to go against the Bears. Baseball when it's freezing and it's raining, come on, man.
Now can you build? We gotta get to a break, but can you build a baseball stadium that you could hold those other events in?
That's
maybe.
Something I believe the city needs.
If you can do that, why not? I mean, come on, we're such a big market. We got to have it.
312-981-7200, making Chicago a better baseball town. That's what we're trying to do on the beat on 720 WGN.
Chicago sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is the beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. This is the beat. I'm Mark Carmen. That is Adam Hogue. That is Jared Payton. Having a little conversation right now about improving the baseball experience on the South Side. Perhaps a new stadium coming for the White Sox. Following up on Paul Sullivan's piece in the Chicago Tribune. We're not saying tomorrow.
Wait, Mark Carmen's not taking this serious at all.
What do you mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
You don't think it's happening or ever will happen.
Well, I mean, one text that just came in, never happened, never get another dollar from the city or the state from the 773. I hope that's the case. If it ever does happen that they move out of U.S. Cellular Field, let Jerry Reinsdorf or whoever owns the team at that point pay for his own stadium. Enough with the taxpayer dollars. And I would say that should apply to every single state across the land until we get our finances in order in this country. Preach. Which Lord knows when
especially
that will be.
Especially in this state,
though. Preach.
By the way, another good text, 773. Average gross salary, $45,000. Game for two, $110. How many would you attend?
Well, okay, but it's not really accurate. 110 if you want to sit in the 100 level, sure. But White Sox cheapest ticket is $7. And by the way, you can sit wherever you want in the upper deck, and it's not a bad seat. So you really don't have to pay that
much. You know
much.
How much a hot dog is?
You don't have to have a hot dog.
You don't?
No. Okay. Why do you have to have a hot dog?
Because you have to eat to live?
Oh, come on. It's a three-hour game. You can't eat beforehand and get out of there without eating?
Well, that's not an issue. There's like three places around there where you can go eat.
Yeah.
If you're getting out of work.
Are you really saying that you have to have food to go to a game? Come on.
You don't want to sit through a game and be hungry.
You have a nice meal. You go down to the game. You go home and you have a meal.
Well, then people like you back in the day would have been out of business, not getting paid.
Have a nice meal where?
Because people like me, you talking about the vendors,
yeah.
They're getting paid by the people that are just having it as a luxury. You don't have to have it. It's not a necessity. I mean, I get it if you're taking your kid and he wants a hot dog, you want to buy him the hot dog.
So are you defending the prices at the ballpark? Because that's what this is really about.
I'm saying,
not how you get around avoiding them.
I'm saying that baseball is by far the most affordable. To go to an NFL game to sit up top is $150-some-odd
a ticket. We're not talking about that. We're talking about why people don't go to White Sox games.
It's three.
Okay, but I'm not buying that as a legit excuse.
Every time I go to a game, I have food.
That's
and
you.
Drinks.
Did you see what the Atlanta Falcons are doing?
That's common, though. At most, everybody does.
Did you see what the Atlanta Falcons are doing at their brand new stadium?
No, what?
They lowered the price of beer and dogs.
And not just by a little. You know how much a hot dog is going to cost?
How much?
$3.
$2.
Wow. Okay.
Slice of pizza.
It's a bad Atlanta hot dog, but okay.
$3.
I can deal with that.
Nachos.
I can deal with that.
Okay. $3.
Oh, hey.
Do you know how much a 12-ounce Bud Light's going to cost?
Please tell me like four bucks.
$5.
I could deal with five,
which, by the way, is still too much for a Bud Light, but it's not $9.
If you want to make the argument that if the White Sox price their concessions more affordably, it would allow more people to come to the park, I wouldn't disagree with you.
Don't you think that would be a great promotional idea for them to do?
They used to do it on Monday nights. It used to be half price night. It was half price on tickets. They went away from that. I don't know why. They'd get big crowds on Monday nights.
If the White Sox could say that you can come to our ballpark and get a hot dog for $2 or a beer for $5.
$2 dog night or $1 dog night Friday nights. Hey, it's a good idea.
More people
they
would
used
show
to have
up.
That too.
I know, but I'm talking about in general. Lower all the prices. Not just the White Sox. Everywhere. I went to the regional game between Syracuse and Virginia, and all I did was get a Coke and three tacos. It cost me $19. Okay, I didn't even get a beer.
Okay, but that's the point. Like, I think you can plan better with your life. I don't.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
You know where I was right before that? I did a 3-hour radio show, and the game started while I was still here, and I got over there as fast as I could, and I was starving. What was I supposed to do? Wait another 2.5 hours before I could eat?
I don't know. When you came to the radio show, you could have bought something.
I did. That was at noon. The game was at 7. Do you understand? Like, do you ever eat? Do you just not eat?
Listen.
Do you understand how breakfast, lunch, and dinner works in the real world?
There is a Walgreens across the street. There's a million things around you.
All right, guys, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go across the street to Walgreens down in the middle of the show.
We have a 7-minute news break. You've done it before. You can come on back. Okay. 312-981-7200. You don't have to eat at the ballpark.
All right. Mark Harmon says raise the price of concessions.
And don't eat.
Listen, when I grew up in the outstanding Carmen family, we would bring sandwiches. My dad's like, $2 for a hot dog, I'd never pay that. That was when it was $2. We'd bring in the corned beef and the rye, and we'd sit down and
I don't think you can do that anymore.
Well, but that's where I'm coming from.
You gotta get hip with the times though. Come on, Carmen.
I think you can actually bring in some snacks.
I think you can bring in a snack.
I don't think you can bring in a giant sandwich, though.
Somebody text us on that. 312-981-7200. Can you bring in snacks? And if you can't, then of course you can. Put it in your pocket and walk in with some sandwich. You're fine. Go sandwich pocket.
Sandwich meat in your pocket?
Why not? Hey, get it done. Mike, on the west side, you're on 720 WGN. Be creative. And you're my guy. Go ahead. Hello. Are you there, Mike? Did we put you to sleep?
Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The city of Chicago, thank you. The city of Chicago has thought small, and I think it was Daniel Burnham who said, dig. The White Sox, and I'm a Cubs fan, got shafted when they couldn't go to Addison, when they had to go back to the South Side. I keep saying that we should have built our sport complex along Madison Street, basically across from United Center. You got transportation on the South Side, transportation on the East Side. You make that your sports entertainment complex. Kansas City has two stadiums. Miller Park, I was just up there 30. They got this beautiful ballpark and a giant parking lot. And these big plans that you talk about to drive people into the city, I think we've never made them. We've never had the courage to think big. We rebuilt Soldier Field, and nobody likes that. U.S. Cellular was built badly, and now you're talking about moving or building a new place. We thought small. I think the West Side Chicago along Madison Street would be a perfect place to make that your mecca for sports entertainment. A football stadium, a baseball stadium, use the same infrastructure, bars, restaurants, all of that is there. You know, centered basically off the United Center. I mean, Wrigley Field, as a Cub fan, they're going to spend, $700 million to redo the place, and you're still not going to have any parking.
Well, they are building, and Mike, we appreciate the comments. The Bears aren't moving from the lakefront. That's never happening. I mean, that's landmarked in every, and that's just not happening. And
that would be just wrong.
And it'd be wrong. And the Cubs are not leaving Wrigley Field. And they are building some parking structures that'll probably cost $80 to park your car there, which is nauseating. But they are building them.
But we got $2 hot dogs.
But we got, I mean, I like this text from the 773. Carm, you're a mutant. We eat when hungry. It costs money for concessions. Just be the mope that watches everybody else eat. I'm not saying that I don't eat when I go, but I'm not going to put it out there like, I've got to eat. And
you know what? You know what a bottle of Coke cost me the other night?
Coke is a, yes.
$4.50.
$5.25. $5.25 for the 20.
Like, why would you pay that? What's wrong with you?
I needed something to drink.
There's a water fountain. Have a glass of water.
You know what? I'm done with you. I really am.
I needed a little caffeine.
Bro, you're like a 7-year-old. I needed a little caffeine.
Oh my God.
But hold up. One thing, though, that has changed, though, Carm, when I look at, especially for Adam and I with families, like you don't always get to eat when you want to eat. So like
right. It's
those times where you're leaving the house, you don't get a chance to eat. You're on a radio show and you get somewhere and you're hungry. You gotta eat, man.
Okay.
And it's not about avoiding it. It's the principle of what the price is. It doesn't matter if you can not eat it or not drink it. It's a matter of the fact that a Coke should never cost $5.25, but a hot dog should never cost more than $3 max ever.
I'm gonna take us out to Chicago Cut. Adam, you can get whatever you want. Steak, beer. You know what, Carm? You're just gonna watch us eat.
You're going to an expensive restaurant. I'm in. I love it. Let's go. I'm gonna have some nice food. I'm gonna pay premium for my liquor that night too. Cool. I'm not saying that I don't buy the dog there, but I don't.
By the way, that's a whole nother conversation.
It is.
I'm tired of paying $50 for a steak. I'll make it myself.
Okay, well, then you're on my side. If you don't want to pay $50 for the steak.
Yeah, but when I'm locked in a ballpark, I can't just pull out a grill and put a steak on.
Oh, my Lord. Eat before you go. By the way, the 6312 texting it, I love the angry, hungry hug, which is just brilliant.
I need a Snickers bar, right?
Yeah. Right, that's another thing. Why don't you just bring a Snickers bar, put it in your pocket?
Right, you missed a joke, dude. It's like the commercial.
I understand. I know the commercial. God. I got the joke.
You got a tight wallet over there, Carm.
That's the other thing. Like, I'm a generous dude. I buy
things. You're the guy that has the water bottle, and I see you outside. You're filling it up outside, like.
Yes, let's go my Mecca sporting event. When I go to the U.S. Open over Labor Day weekend, yeah. I've got my water bottle, and I time it out, and I fill it up. I'm not going to sit there and buy a Coke at the U.S. Open for $8. Are you nuts? First of all, I don't want to drink Coca-Cola.
That's not the point. That is not the point.
But that is the point. You can be creative. You're putting it out like they're like a gun to your head.
You're coming up with a solution. I'm just saying that there's a problem that can be addressed in a very different way and just lower the prices.
Do you have to eat and drink at the ballpark? 312-981-7200. Let's explain it to Angry Hungry Hog that
I love that new nickname.
I'm not even hungry today. Usually I am.
It matches Adam Hoag, Angry Hungry. A-H-A-H. You following me?
A-A-H would be my real initials, so A-H-H, I guess, works.
Any other good ones?
773. Hey, Car, which I believe is Carman, do you still have your paper route money? No, but I got my Marmitz money somewhere. Roll that into a condo someday. Huh? Maybe I'll take that money and get myself a hot dog at the game for $6 because I was forced to have that hot dog because I was hungry.
What about the fact that the food tastes good and you want to enjoy it?
And at the cell, it's delicious.
My point is, if you can afford it, eat it. But if you're struggling
for... It's the principle!
What is the principle?
That a hot dog should never cost more than $3.
Okay.
And they charge you $7.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay,
I don't,
that's the point.
I don't disagree with you. It should they're completely gouging you. But listen, I've been on this earth now for 40-plus years. You've been on it for 30-plus years.
The guy who sold the concessions at the ballpark is telling
that's
you not
why I'm having a hard
if
time.
If you
with
go
this.
To the movies, popcorn is more money than it should be. Same as the Coke. If you go to a sporting event, it's more money than it should be. You can't get angry at this stuff anymore. That's how it is. It's never going
it's
to change.
It's never going to change. So what he's telling you
it
about
did
popcorn.
Change, though. The Atlanta Falcons are changing it. Let's go, Falcons!
Ronnie, what's his name? What's their owner's name again? Ronnie something?
No, it's not Ronnie.
Harold?
Oh, my God.
Eddie Blank?
It's Arthur Blank.
Mark, bring some solid thoughts to this program, would you?
We need them.
312-981-7200. What's up, Mark?
Oh, I just had a few comments. I live about 100 miles south of Chicago. We've been coming up to games since the 60s. Raised all three of my kids Sox fans. But I can remember listening on the radio. I'm a farmer. I listen to this tractor radio all the time. When they built that new stadium, when Einhorn and Reinsdorf put the pressure on Illinois, they never talked about building it downtown. They talked about Naperville, Schaumburg. I know they own the land where it's at. They got nice parking. But it never came up to put it downtown like a lot of these other cities. So I just wonder what your comment was on that.
When you say downtown, you mean downtown. They should have found some land near the loop.
Yes, Grant Park area, somewhere in there. I know it would have been very, very expensive. That's probably the reason, but it just never did come up.
Right. It's a good question, Mark. Yeah. I feel like, and we appreciate the phone call, like the Sox just identify with the South Side. I mean, that's where they belong.
That's how,
But they could have moved. They could have. I don't exactly remember the finances at the time if there was even a discussion about putting it more central in the city. But here we got, let's say quick timeout, 312-981-7200. There's another big issue in baseball that I want to bring you the stats on coming back here, and we'll do it in a very non-statty way on 720 WGN.
If you want to win the game, you got to take good aim and get the most marbles with your hippo. Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippo.
Hey!
Hungry, Hungry Hippo.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos is the name of the game. And whoever hungry hippo gets the most marbles.
Hangry, Hungry Ho.
Hungry, Hungry Hogo. When I go to a game, I'm a Hungry, Hungry Hogo.
What a great game that was.
I loved Hungry Hippo.
What a fun game.
Do you remember a Hungry Hippo? The ball?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? I still got it.
You still got Hungry Hippo?
Yeah. My son plays it. It's like still hot in the streets.
I can't believe that Hungry Hippo's hanging out that long.
Yeah.
Hungry, Hungry Hippo.
We just got one for Christmas.
I mean, I guess board games never go away. People are going to play Monopoly forever. They'll play Scrabble forever. Why can't they play Hungry, Hungry Hippo forever?
We were garage sailing yesterday and almost bought Twister.
Should have done it.
It was $5.
$5 for Twister?
I know.
You can't, you know.
$5 for Twister. Cheaper than a $7 hot dog.
And Twister you can get freaky deaky with.
You never know.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially in the new house. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get the Twister out.
Honey!
Saturday night, late night, Twister. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, this is The Beat, 720 WGN.
Your own Twister. You don't need to pay that money for a Twister. Make it own.
We've been having a spirited conversation about...
I can hear him doing that right now. Just get a big white tarp and just paint your own little blue and red, yellow dots on there.
The Jackal is texting the show. Mike Jacobson, our former outstanding executive producer. It's Hungry, Hungry Hippos, plural. I apologize. My bad.
Jacobson's at home getting mad at that.
Well, accuracy is important. Let me just, before we move on from our concession stand, I'm trying to make a movement, which I just realized. If you didn't pay for concessions, then maybe they would lower the prices. You are part of the problem.
I think that's why they're jacking them up.
No, it's because they know that you'll pay for it. Oh, look at Hoag's here again. Let's make the Coke $10 today. He's thirsty. He hasn't planned ahead. Hey, hot dogs today, $15. Hoag's hungry. He'll pay it, and some will some other people. If you went in there and they saw it, when they see me, they're like, oh no. Let's lower everything because they know that DeCarm is coming in. You give me that dog for $2, I feel you. Give me that beer for $5. That's the thing. Like I want to have a beer at the park, and sometimes I do, but I don't give you $10 for a beer.
They're like 11 now, for like the 16 ounces.
Yeah.
If you want like a summer shandy, I think it costs $11.
We got tuition to pay, man.
Guy that's on the line right now, I believe that this is Tarney, best Cub fan on the planet. I know that he ain't paying ballpark prices. What's up, Tarney?
Well, I just wanted to agree with you because you seem to be getting ganged up on, but I agree with you. I'm not going to go to a Cub game, which I quite often do, and pay those kind of exorbitant prices. You know, occasionally, and I'm talking occasionally, will I buy something, you know, from the ballpark. And I have a lot of friends, believe me, that are vendors, okay? And if anything, maybe I'll patronize, you know, the vendors outside. I'll buy peanuts from a, you know, guy outside the ballpark and so forth. But there's no way am I going to pay those kind of prices at the ballpark. And listen, you sit there for 3 hours, but afterwards you go out and get something to eat, or before you have something to eat. But no, I'm not going to pay $10 for a beer and so forth.
Thank you,
Tarny.
We're talking about two different things. Of course, don't buy the concessions.
Adam, why would you pay 5 1/4 for a Pepsi or a Coke?
I'm not disagreeing with you. That's what I'm saying.
But you do it.
But he's thirsty.
I did it one time the other night.
You do it all the time.
No, I don't.
Have some water or something like that. They have water fountains there. You know? I mean, seriously now. You must have big bucks there, Adam. I don't know. Maybe you just, you know, like to flaunt your money or something.
Oh,
for 5 1/4, you know.
He doesn't. He's not. He's got
cents.
He's got a little one. All that money's going towards James. He's hurting right now.
I fully understand that, but there's other ways to cut back, you know? Instead of paying 5 1/4.
Like not using movers.
Well, right. Anyways, I just wanted to. I know you guys were ganging up on Carmen, and
that's normally how it goes.
Pardon me?
I say it's normally how it goes here.
Well, yeah, it does. But, you know, I got to stick up for a guy who I agree with, okay?
So, I appreciate
it. It's a really good show, and just take it easy on my friend, okay?
Thank you, Tarny. Cool. Appreciate it.
Okay. See ya.
Apparently,
I don't think people think.
Most of them are on your side.
Listen.
Maybe.
But we're not on opposite sides.
We're not on opposite sides.
I'm just saying that. Regardless of whether you buy the concessions or don't buy the concessions, they shouldn't cost what they do. That's my point.
We all agree on that. But I want you to plan better. Will you commit to planning better when you go to sporting events?
Am I supposed to do?
Dude, if you're...
I have to leave... To get to a 7 o'clock game from Park Ridge, I have to leave by 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's say I eat at 4:30.
Okay.
Okay?
So...
I'm not leaving the ballpark until... 10 at the earliest, probably. Not getting home, probably close to 11. You don't think I'm going to be, like, hungry by the end of the game?
Just have some nice bag of snacks in your pocket. You're
snacks.
Good.
Listen, I don't care about food, but if I'm going to a game, I got to have, especially in the summertime, I got to be sipping on a nice, cool beverage.
That's what I'm saying.
So what do you want
it's
me to
beer
do?
Beer and baseball.
Beer and baseball.
And you're taking it away from us now.
Forget about food. I got to have a beer if I'm going to be sitting outside.
Really? You have
yes.
Okay.
If I'm going to sit back and chill.
How many?
It's either that or...
How many?
Or the flask is in my right pocket.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
We just went full circle, though. You know why?
Give me the flask.
Because and this gets with football, too, I would much rather be sitting on my couch with a beer than going to the ballpark and spending $11 on that beer.
That's it. Sitting at home with a big screen. Drinking
which gets
beer.
Back to your point, which was wrong.
And no troughs either.
Troughs are
no.
Okay, now
no line for a bathroom at my house.
Now, okay.
Well, good.
NFL games should be watching at home. We got to take a quick break. 7:20 WGN.
So I mean, it was a big one when Frage got us on the board, but I think the one with Melky, you know, we've been scuffling with guys on base, and especially with two outs. So, you know, just a clutch hit for us. It kind of relieved a lot of pressure. You know, the way Carlos was pitching, you know, it just kind of moved us in the direction we needed to go. So I think pitching-wise, he did a great job. If you get him some runs, it helps.
White Sox manager Robin Ventura after the game today. White Sox get a much-needed win 3-2 over the Kansas City Royals. They salvage a game in the series. It's been a tough couple of weeks for the Chicago White Sox. And a little bit of doubt, I think, creeping in to the fan base after a very good start. But if you look at the record right now, I think most Sox fans would have taken that through this point in the season. Dan Hayes covers the team for CSNChicago.com. He joins us now on the program. Adam Hogue and Mark Carmen here with you for another hour on 720 WGN. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you guys? And wait, what are you talking about, doubt creeping in the fan base? No way.
Yeah. I'm sure your Twitter mentions are just real optimistic right now.
Oh, man. It's funny. I've been kind of, if I did a little social experiment on it, when good things happen, you get about 2 tweets back from fans. And then when anything bad happens, you get about 15 on that one instant alone. And there have been a lot of those the last, you know, 11, 12 days. There have been quite a few. It feels like the sky is falling and the team is got a 2.5 game lead, which is crazy. Because if we all had a no information as to how we got here, if we all just woke up today, and the White Sox are 2.5 games in front, and, you know, you didn't know the history, you'd be thrilled to see the White Sox 2.5 games in front, given where they've been the last 3 years. But I think, you know, this last 10-12 days has been really trying for sure, because all the things that we saw them doing so well early on, they kind of got away from.
Yeah, so along those lines, Dan, I mean, what is fair right now to be worried about? Is it the lack of hitting, or do you just look at that like, okay, they're just in a little bit of a slump as a team, it'll come back around? Is it Jose Abreu? Or is it – I think the thing that maybe concerns me the most is the fact that the rotation doesn't look particularly all that deep to be sustainable over the course of the entire season, despite the fact that Chris Sale and Jose Quintana are pitching tremendously.
I think any concerns about Carlos Rodon are way too over – you know, I don't see it. I mean, I look at what he's done. He's had two bad starts in there. And in one of them, he left with a six-run lead. What was the lead in Texas when he left? He gave up six runs, but they were well ahead when he left. He had the awful start against the Angels, but he's been competitive in most of his other starts. And the signs we've seen his last two have really, you know, you're seeing him get back to himself. He's throwing the fastball a little harder. That opens up the slider. You know, he won this game today. He stayed in it, kept him alive, and the offense finally woke up. I think the biggest concerns right now, definitely the offense just a little bit. You know, they had a great three-week stretch, and last year it took till July to even have 1 week of a hot stretch. So there's the capability is there. But I think that if you have a group that is kind of relying on two big guys, you know, those guys need to be pretty consistent. And the way Abreu has performed so far, you know, it makes me think that they probably still need some kind of bat, a left-handed bat. You know, that was something I've been thinking since spring training, no matter what. But at the same time, the group is better. It's already shown that it's capable of outproducing last year. It's just susceptible to ruts. And, you know, with the pitching they have, they need four runs a game. But I think when you look at it, it's, you know, this is a good start. It's a really good start, and it's a team that's not very far off from being in this position all year. They just need to add little pieces here and there. And, you know, depending on what Avi Garcia can give you, that's how big of a piece you need as far as the bat. If he's going to be consistent and not go into long slumps, then you don't need as huge of a bat, because him batting sixth or seventh in that lineup really changes the bottom half. But if he goes into those spells where he's gone for 3 weeks, you know, that left-handed bat probably needs to be much more considerable.
Dan Hayes, Comcast SportsNet, with us here on 720 WGN. So Rick Hahn, White Sox general manager, speaking earlier in the week, Dan, about, hey, we've got Chris Sale on this great contract. Same thing with Quintana. We should be aggressive. And he's looking to add on. I mean, in your mind, is Tim Anderson the White Sox, well, one of their top prospects, shortstop extraordinaire? Do you think he's in that conversation? Would they be willing to give up someone like that to get better?
I think if the right fit was coming back, they'd consider most. I mean, you know, I don't know that there's an untouchable. They've always shown they're an aggressive team. And the really good thing is if you have the Rodon that you've had most of the season, where he's six innings and three runs or fewer, you really don't need an ace for your rotation. You need somebody to be that really good number four. You don't have to go out and get Jeff Samardzija like the A's did a couple years ago and drop a ton to get that. I mean, I think it's a little easier to find a four. So you maybe don't have to pay that extraordinary price, but at the same time, you know, you have a few spots you probably could upgrade. So I think that they've shown that willingness to look at all players and try to win when they have the shot. So it wouldn't surprise me if anybody was available. I mean, that's the beauty of having the 10th pick, the 26th pick, and the 49th pick. They feel like they're going to get three first-round talents out of that group. You never know what you're going to get, but at the same time, they're pretty confident that there's a deep pool of guys there. And so they can kind of reload the system if they have to give up something. But the fact is, the system's pretty thin when you look at all these trades they've made the last few years. I mean, just in the Frazier and Samardzija deals, they gave up seven guys, six of whom had been produced by their own farm system. And then you throw in Lori, there's another two guys. I mean, they really have a diminished system with a little bit on top, and this draft would be good for them to kind of stockpile for the future. But at the same time, if you're in the position where you're trying to win now, you really can't sit back and waste those chances, especially with Chris Sale in his prime, with Jose Abreu being in the middle of the contract. And if he gets back on track, obviously he's in his prime. So you want to take advantage of these chances when you got them. So I wouldn't surprise me to see them be open to trading everybody.
Well, one thought is trading Tim Anderson to get something back in return, but he's been playing pretty well in Charlotte. Is there any chance that he could come up in the second half of the season and maybe be an upgrade to the lineup? Or do you think that they're pretty set on juggling Saladino and Jimmy Rollins for the rest of the year?
Well, I think if Tim Anderson keeps playing this way, yeah, absolutely. The thing we always have to think about is that he got drafted 3 years ago, and that's out of junior college, and he'd only been playing baseball for a few years. So I think him being hot right now is great, but I think they want to see him keep doing it, because if they were going and this was a year where they weren't in contention, they'd use the entire year and probably bring him up in September, give him the whole year at that level. If he forces their hand, of course, you know, if he's going to make them better, I don't think they'd hesitate to do that. And that is a spot where they probably could upgrade. Jimmy Rollins has done a really good job at times and really means a lot to them in that clubhouse. I think his leadership is one of those understated qualities, along with, you know, Todd Frazier gets a lot of the attention for that. But I think Jimmy Rollins, Alex Avila really are key guys to that club. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Anderson made it up here later, and because he is a talented kid and he's got some speed, and he really, you know, the defense is going to be the biggest thing. Can we see sustained good defense? Is it ready for the major league level? Is it going to be ready to be a major league shortstop in a pennant race? I think that's probably the biggest key for him.
Dan Hayes, Comcast Sports, in with us here for a couple more moments on 720 WGN. We were both out there Thursday night for Chris Sale's 9th win on the year. Apologize for not saying hello, Dan. I'm a bad communicator at times. He talked about the Cubs-Sox rivalry being a little bit more real this year, and he wants to face Jake Arrieta, thinks, you know, want to beat the best. But then he also threw in that, hey, when we were on our 4-game losing streak, Todd Frazier looked at me and said, you're pitching tomorrow. And he said, right, yes, I am. Oh, great, we got tomorrow. And then I talked to Jimmy Rollins that night, too, about, you know, his leadership role in the clubhouse. And you're talking about Jimmy just a second ago. How much impact do you think Rollins and Frazier have had as far as turning around that clubhouse?
I think that they come in every day knowing that yesterday doesn't matter. And they have the experience of seeing that and believing it. And, you know, when you have a lot of younger guys like they've had the last couple of years, you get in a rut and you don't know a way out of it. And we've seen that with those past couple of teams where a 2-8 spell would just demolish them. And a month later, the White Sox are 10 games under 500. And I think that you have a bunch of guys that have been around winning teams. And I can't remember what the number is right now, but when we added it up before the season, the new guys that came in have played on something like 21 division winners and appeared in 23 postseason teams. And I don't think that that can be lost. I mean, I think when you look at that, that means so much to a team, because guys don't get too high or too low. And I think we've seen that, you know, this team has done a good job of kind of, they ride their energy and they are an energetic bunch without question. But at the same time, that energy is there every day. It's not like it's dependent on if they're winning or losing. I mean, you know, you go in there any day during this last couple of weeks here and it's still the same group. And there's something to be said for that, because you don't want to be a team that rides these great streaks and gets too high. And then when you're losing, you don't know how to get out of it. And I think the veterans have done a very good job with that. It probably helps the Sales, the Eatons, guys who haven't really experienced winning before, figure out how to win. And they've talked about that. You know, in spring training, Alex Avila said that Adam Eaton came over a couple times and was like asking about what it's like to win the division. What do you have to do? And kept peppering him with questions like that. And, you know, I mean, it's funny to think that that's something that they don't know how to do, but these guys have been minor leaguers trying to get their careers on track, and they came to the White Sox and experienced 3 losing seasons. It's not like they've really had that experience in front of them. So, you know, I think that is valuable just to have around, because if you don't know how to win, if you don't know how to get out of your own way, you can get sunk very quickly. And I think that this last week, you know, how they respond right now is a key time for them. It was a good step today to beat the Royals and beat the Royals in a tight game, because you lose and you got a doubleheader tomorrow, and that could have really, really turned things around even more so.
That's an interesting point, that, you know, baseball minor leagues doesn't necessarily teach you how to win like some other sports when you're in college playing for big-time programs and you get that kind of experience. It's valuable. Talking to Dan Hayes here, CSNChicago.com. Dan, last thing for you as we let you go. The White Sox celebrating the 25th anniversary at U.S. Cellular Field this weekend. Some interesting stories out there today. We read, and we were just talking about earlier in the last hour, Paul Sullivan's story today in the Chicago Tribune about the ballpark and a Sox employee saying that they would have been better off building it out in the suburbs. I'm curious, you're around there all the time. I mean, do you think that there'll ever be a day where the White Sox move out of that stadium, try to build a new one, as teams like the Atlanta Braves and the Texas Rangers are kind of surprisingly already looking to build new stadiums, even though their stadiums aren't all that old?
Well, I mean, obviously the question of public financing makes it so much more difficult these days, and it would have to be something most likely private. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a lot of publicly financed stadiums anymore. It just doesn't seem like taxpayers want to do that. It's funny because, you saw it today. There was 34,000 out there, and yep. I think the attendance can be fine if you have a winning product. I mean, we saw it in 05 and 06. That seems like a long time, but I think people come and support winning teams, and if it's there, you know, I mean, they're going to be there for a while, I would imagine. I don't know that you can change unless they're putting up the money themselves, and that's a big, big undertaking. So, I mean, the suburbs seem like a good spot, and a lot of the fan base is out there for sure. But we've seen them draw there before. I think winning really would bring fans in no matter what.
It'll be sold out when the Cubbies come in.
See, that's
possibly.
That
was just a dig right at Adam Hogue. Hey, Dan, continued success to you. Do great work, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Dan Hayes, Comcast Sportsnet. Think they'll sell out a game before the Cubs come in? Huh?
Probably not.
I hope they do.
A full sellout?
Yes, a full sellout.
34,000.
You're in first place.
Maybe July. Maybe, yeah. How about
when the Royals come back?
I believe there's a game on the 4th of July. I could see that game being sold out. Yeah. I think they're playing the Yankees that day, too.
You don't think they'll sell out tomorrow versus the Indians in a doubleheader?
No. July 4th, New York Yankees. If I have that matchup correct, which I believe I do, I also think I have tickets that day. Don't know if I'm going because I might be out of town. But I think that game has the potential to be sold out.
Well, we know that the next four with Cleveland won't be. Then they go on the road. Nationals during the week, no. Royals.
All right. You don't have to go through the schedule. It's probably not happening.
It's not happening. Just looking at it.
All right. We got to take a break.
The Yankees do play them on
do
the fourth.
Your,
yes,
do your
with
thing.
Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Thank you to Dan Hayes, Comcast Sports. That talking a little White Sox for us. With us, I should say. The Cubs lineup is out tonight. Dexter Fowler leading off in center field. Anthony Rizzo at first. Chris Bryant at third. Ben Zobrist at second. Jorge Soler is in left.
Jose.
Matt Caesar back up and back in the lineup playing right. David Ross catching. And Kyle Hendricks on the mound. Cubs looking for a little bit more out of Kyle Hendricks after their streak of 7 million games in a row where the starters went at least five came to an end last night with John Lester getting knocked around. So Hendricks on the bump tonight. And
big game tonight on national TV.
Yeah, little Sunday night baseball. I'm actually wondering, because I enjoy my Chicago Cubs Sunday night baseball, but
you're not going to watch it.
I'm going to be flipping back and forth, but with a keen focus on the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 3, which I think will be a lot more entertaining than Cubs and Giants. Anybody with me? I can just get one text. That's all I'm looking for, one text, 312-981-7200, who can just be with me and saying, I'm watching the NBA tonight, not the Cubs. It would make me feel good. Is that asking too much?
I'm probably going to watch a little Bloodline.
Huh?
Bloodline.
Don't know what that is.
Great TV show.
Really?
Start watching it. It's on Netflix. Season 2 comes out May 27th.
Is it tonight Game of Thrones night?
I don't watch that show.
Everybody watches Game of Thrones. They're Bloodline cool, man.
I don't. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Dan Long watches Game of Thrones for me.
I do not.
Okay.
I do watch Bloodline, though.
Isn't it awesome?
It is awesome.
It is. I'm telling you, not a lot of people know about it. The people who watch it, you get hooked in a second.
Bloodline?
It's on Netflix.
Is that better than...
It's only 13 episodes. It's not like something you have to watch forever.
Is it better than House of Cards?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is it better than The Wire back in the day?
I hate to say it, but I never watched The Wire.
Neither did I. But I'm just trying to name cool TV shows. I was listening to the Steve Cochran show the other morning. They're going through every single TV show. How do people have all this time to watch all this TV?
I don't.
Like, Dave Ennett's the busiest man on the planet. He
stopped watching all network television.
A network, it's not even network television. People are watching HBO, they're watching Netflix.
I watch some HBO shows, but
Breaking Bad was what, AMC?
And I like Breaking Bad, and I couldn't do it. I just ran out of time. I don't have time.
Quick timeout, we don't have time. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
All right, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you're ready for your Monday. Go in there tomorrow and tell your boss that you love him and that you're here to perform and have a great week. And if you are the boss, hug your employees and tell them how much you appreciate them. A message from Matt the Carm and Adam Hoag on 720 WGN. You with me? You okay over there? Mike?
I got a floppy mic here.
You had floppy mic? It's better than... I'll leave that one alone. All right, I want to solve the situation here. There is a movement going on.
Is this
going
to be like your solution for high concessions?
No, this is actually a conversation that's being had.
Okay.
Okay, Rob Manfred. You know who that is? That's the commissioner of baseball.
I do. His name's on the on when you get the baseballs.
It says Rob Manfred on there.
Yes.
M-A-N-Fred. Rob Manfred is disturbed that baseball games this season are longer again than they were in the past.
That surprises me.
Last year, they were down to 2 hours and 53 minutes and 33 seconds. Okay, that was down 8 minutes from the year before. But 1 year later, as we sit, now we're back over 3 hours. We're at 3 hours and 26 seconds, okay? So Manfred wants his baseball games to be quicker. You've seen that they put in the clock in between innings to try to speed it along. They've had threats that if you don't throw the baseball...
But they don't execute any of the threats.
Right, they don't... None of that is ever put in. No, it's like...
There's one that if you don't swing, you're not allowed to get out of the batter's box.
Right.
They do it every time.
Right.
They just get out of the batter's box, and the umpire never says anything.
It's like the parent who lets his kid do one more time.
Right.
You know, so that's what baseball is. I don't know if it really matters. Like, I'm curious if people are like, yes, it needs to be quicker. If it was quicker, I would come back to the game because I've left it. Now, some people are saying that it's a replay. The replay is causing it. But in reality, that's not it. At all. Like, replay, the average team gets mixed up in about 4 reviews per week. So in a full night of baseball, which would be 15 games, 10 games are going to have a replay. Well, 5 will not.
Well, you want your evidence. You've already given the evidence that it's not replay. You said that games were 8 minutes shorter last year.
Right. Okay.
And last year there was plenty of replay.
Right, but people
it wasn't replay.
But people are saying that maybe they understand replay more now and they're using it more. And there is more replay, but it's really just because replay is up doesn't, it's really not it. Here's what's going on. Pitches per game are up more than 6 per game. There are 289.25 pitches. That's the most since 2009, okay? So walks are up 12%, over 3 a game, all right? That's the highest total in 7 years. Strikeouts up to over 8 per 9 innings. That's the highest rate ever. Balls not in play, the rate is the highest that it's ever been. Pitches per plate appearance, the highest in the history of the game. Now,
you said balls not in play are highest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So see, that's a problem. You want to see action.
Right. Now, okay, you do want to see action, but we're talking about a strike zone that is incredibly small, right? And you're getting tons. They're working the counts because the strike zone is the size of a teacup. And what did we talk about yesterday on the show?
They're going to bring the strike zone up.
From the bottom of the knee to the top of the knee.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're...
Because they think there's too many low pitches being called strikes when they're really balls.
Right. If you're going to bring it up from the bottom of the knee to the top of the knee, then you should be bringing... The bigger thing they need to do, the strike zone can't be from the belt to the knee. It needs to be from the letters to the knee. It takes... The only reason why baseball's taking forever right now is the strike zone is so small that everyone's working counts, and that's what's, I mean, that's what's killing the length of the games. It's not replay. It's not anything other than their incredibly tiny strike zone that the best players in all of baseball have trouble hitting all the time.
I think it's a fair point.
The problem is if they expanded the strike zone, then you're going to have less offense. You make it bigger, it's easier for the pitcher. So... What do you want?
Kind of catch 22.
What do you want? You want to quicken up the games? That's the way to do it. You want offense? Well, then you're going to have long games. So that's the simple question. Would you rather have the game be faster and lower scoring, or would you rather have long games and offense? 312-981-7200. What would you rather have?
You know what? I don't understand. I think I'd rather have the shorter game.
Right?
They're pretty long.
Get in the batter's box. It's like
Thursday night, you were there. I was there. You didn't come say hi. You didn't say hi to Dan Hayes. We've already documented that.
It's a rough night for me communicating.
You didn't say hi to Richard Hogue.
I'm sorry, Richard Hogue, for real. The rest of you,
but
okay with.
That was a really fast game.
It was. Chris Sale's pitching. Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam. Out of there. I was home by 10:30.
It was great.
Amazing.
It was great. I don't want to sit.
What do you think about games starting at 6 instead of 7?
I'm pro that, too.
I love that.
Give me 6
but
o'clock.
But I know there's a lot of people who will say I can't get there by 6.
That's fine. You don't need to be there for the full 9 innings. Get there in the 3rd. You're good.
Yeah, you could spend some time eating dinner before you get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Not spending the dough. Baseball, I don't know if it's a problem. I really, to be honest, I don't know if it's a problem or not.
Rob Manfred thinks it's a problem.
Rob Manfredson does think it's a problem.
Did you just call him Manfredson?
Yes. A la Fletch. Which is, I guess, a dated reference at this point. 312-981-7200. Trying to fix baseball here. 720 WGN. You're on 720 WGN. Terry, what's going on, my friend?
I'm not a huge baseball fan, but one of the things that I think happens here, and maybe happening league wide, is how managers use their pitchers, and it's pretty obvious. The Cubs use a lot of pitchers in their games. You know, they'll bring in one guy, to throw two pitches, and then they'll change batters or change pitchers, and all that takes time. If you have an 8-inning guy, things move along. But if you use, like 5 relievers, out of 6 or 7 innings, that all slows it down too.
Well, do you want to make it mandatory, Terry, that if a reliever comes in, he's got to face a couple batters?
No, I don't think so. I think what you do. How many pitches does the reliever get when he comes into the game?
7.
Yeah, I think he should be 2.
2.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Why? If you're ready to come in, you're ready to come in. You get 2 pitches to get yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been thrown at a bullpen for 15 minutes.
Exactly. He's ready to go.
And so you bring him in and you fire him up.
You get 2 pitches to get used to throwing in a different spot, and then go.
I'll split the difference with you. Let's go 4.5.
Oh my God!
How do you measure a half?
I'll let you guys win 4 pitches. All right, I'm winning. Terry, you win. It's a good suggestion. Thank you, my brother.
All right, bye bye.
See you, Terry.
It's a fair point because you're not going to eliminate the bullpen use, and it's part of the game. It's part of the strategy of the game. And starting pitchers are pitching less and less. It's just the way it is.
Well, you could make it that, hey, you go to the bullpen, that person has to face at least 2 batters. Change strategies around.
That would really, I don't know. I don't like that. I'm more, hey, look, you were in the bullpen for a long time. Your arm's ready to go. Just go in the game and start throwing real pitches.
Sometimes they're not in the bullpen that long, though. They need those 7
pitches. But that's what you change in terms of the strategy. Get your guys up earlier. Don't go to the bullpen until they're ready to go.
Pitching changes take a whole lot of time.
They do.
We can all agree on that. Hey, Pam, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, Pam?
My thought is this. It's not about the game, about the players. They're playing well. They're playing at 78 RPMs. The crowd is, it's the crowd that's slowing everything down. They're coming out of their smartphones. They're coming out of their, and they're just, they're slowing everything down. The players are playing a great game. I'm saying, could we switch the thing to, maybe it's the crowd.
Not
the players.
You think that the crowd is asleep and it's making the players asleep?
I am saying the crowd, they're coming out of their, should we call them, smart, and I put the A, phones, and coming there and wanting to be, the players are playing their arses off. And the crowd is still dumbfounded.
Hey, Pam, do you...
more beer, popcorn. I'm saying, let's look at the crowd.
Pam, do you go to... Pam, do you go to baseball games?
I love baseball. Yes, I do.
Do you get wild when you get there, Pam?
Well, I mean, I do. I get the seat. I was 11 when I had a transistor radio, and I was a monitor at school listening to Cubs. When I go to a game, I just try not to get wild. I don't, because I hear people going, "What the?" They're throwing beer around. And I go, "I'm going to be a lady."
What do they do?
I do. I have, and you know, we get the. I love sports. I love sports, but I'm saying it's sort of like, it's got to do with everything.
Pam,
really.
we
even politicians, we blame, but it's the crowd. It's us, the people, that are dumbed down. Pam, you know, I think that the players are playing, but we're asleep.
Pam, do you have
light.
Do you have a podcast?
No, I don't have a. Well, I
can
might
you please
have,
start
no,
one?
No podcast. I don't. In fact, I love the computer. I love that. To me, it's like a weapon. I go to the library. I'll do that. I know that I've got a computer here. But basically, I probably have 800 emails, 798.
What are all these emails writing you about, Pam?
People don't write. I'm saying I don't use computer as my mechanism.
Ah.
I'm saying that I think we're built to look and see and turn pages and do things. And I think that all this, you know, I tell you, I drive downtown. I do a radio 2 days a week. But, you know, I'm driving.
Where do you do radio?
People walking across CBS.
Oh, wow.
But it's 2 days a week, but I drive there. I got a spot there. But people are walking across the street looking at their cell phones. First of all, drivers can't use them. First of all, I'm not going to have my cell phone on when I'm driving. I know well enough I cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't have that on if I'm driving. But everybody, it's like everybody's in a daze, and the crowd is in a daze. The players are right on target. The Hawks, you know, come on.
The Blackhawks?
The Last Gladiators, they're in the thing. But the crowds, the Hawks crowds are great. But I love sports. I love going to games. But basically, I stay out of that net, and I do call it a net. The inner, it's sort of like a web.
Pam,
we
got to go to break, but will you do me a favor?
Well, I will. I'll do.
Call again, Pam. We need more of you on the show.
I just love your program, and I don't want to be on the air. I'm just saying, bless you, but I think we got to look at the crowd.
We got it.
The players are doing great. The crowd is dead. Asleep in the light.
Thank you, Pam.
It's time to push the button, Carm.
I love Pam. I don't want to push the button at all. In fact, I want to go to 8. Will Noonan let us go 2 more hours with Pam? You're all right over there?
I'm just trying to figure out what happened in the last 4.5 minutes.
I thought that was the best part of our show. And I thought we had some good parts of our show today. That was great. But we do have to...
I think Tommy Harris was...
No, Pam was better than Harris.
Okay.
720 WGN. I'd like to thank our last guest, Pam.
We're going to get Pam a podcast at WGNplus.com.
Get Todd Manley on the horn.
We'll get that going for you.
Pam's got a shot. I mean,
I believe she called the computer a weapon.
Well, it is to some. Right? Pam is... There's deepness to Pam. You're listening to 720 WGN. This is The Beat. You're Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Harmon. We've got 5 minutes of time left.
It's been a great 2 days.
We've enjoyed ourselves. Leonard, real quick on baseball's the speed of the game that we've been discussing. What do you got, Leonard?
Hi, guys. I like Pam.
I do, too.
First of all, when I go to a game or I go to a golf course, the cell phone goes off, and I'm going back in time, and there is no clock. I enjoy being there. I understand what takes long. I know if Greg Maddux, you know, a few years ago was pitching, I knew the game would be over in 2 hours. Someone else, I know the game's going to be over in 3 hours. As a relief pitcher and one who pitched all through high school, when you come out of that bullpen, you need the 7 pitches on the mound just for your footwork alone. You're pitching in the spots where it's already dug out, so you got to change all those spots. So it's not about getting your arm warm. It's getting your spots right on the mound. You know, half of pitching is from your legs and your footwork. And those guys need those 7 pitches. What drives me nuts is these guys who take so much time between pitches.
Yep.
I know when I threw, I was thinking about what I was throwing 3 pitches ahead. And when the ball got back to my glove, you know, I was focused on the next pitch. And the fielders, I never wanted to put them to sleep. I'll hear your guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
You got
a great point.
That's my biggest pet peeve with anything. Not the pitching part, but the batter. A, when you're up, you cannot leave the batter's box.
It takes 2. Batter, stay in the box. Pitcher, be ready to go. This nonsense of walking around in circles behind the mound or the batter walking around halfway to the dugout and back in between pitches. Let's go.
Right. Well, and that could be changed. You could step out with 1 foot and look down at the third base coach and look in the dugout. I'm cool with that, but you cannot leave the batter's box completely. 1 foot right in all the time. You leave the batter's box with 2 feet. I'll warn you once you do it again, it's a strike.
Cool.
Done. I think we solved it.
Done.
All right, we'll get you ready for Brian Noonan, who's coming up next on 720 WGN.